The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the service of Sunday, October 7th, 2018, with thanks to Dan and Bonnie Volek for their sponsorship.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Holy Trinity on this beautiful fall morning. My name is Alicia. I am one of the pastors here, and I'm joined by my co-pastor and husband, Pastor Ben, as well as the worship team this morning and many confirmation students who will also be leading today. So welcome from all of us today. We also want to welcome those who are joining us via radio on K-Check Radio and live TV. We're glad you're all joining us in worship as well this morning. For those of you who might be guests or visitors with us today, please know that you are welcome to partake in all of today's service. When it comes time for communion, we'll give a few instructions, but please do know you are welcome to partake if you'd like to at that time. Please also know, regardless of if you've been here for years or you just walked in the door, you are welcome to also join in a reception after the service. We're going to go down the hall into the fellowship hall just to celebrate with these confirmation students today. So whether you know them or not, you're welcome to join in the celebration, and there will be some sweet treats, I'm told. So come on down if you'd like. But now I'm going to invite Jeffrey to come forward and give a welcome on behalf of the class.
Good morning. My name is Jeffrey Price. On behalf of the confirmation class of 2018 here at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, I just want to say thank you for your presence here today. And thank you for all the support along the way. Please rise as we join together in our opening hymn.
Oh, Please join me in today's confirmation litany. Lord, we come. Lord, we come. But most of all, Lord, you come.
As the one who claims us, calls us, and confirms us as your children.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, we thank you that you have made us your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called us to yourself, enlightened us with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished us in the community of faith. Uphold us and all your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated as we hear our special music for today.
Have risen against me. The ruthless seek my life. They do not set God before them. Selah. But sure, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. In a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. He has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph upon my enemies. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. Our gospel is from Mark, the 9th chapter. We say, "Glory to you, O Lord." They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. So then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Well, he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not just me, but the one who sent me." Here ends our gospel reading. We say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, as you may know, I'm married to Pastor Alicia here, and we currently have an adorable 3-year-old daughter, one on the way too. But our 3-year-old's name is Miriam. And I have to say, it's remarkable to see the world through her eyes. The other day, she was playing with a few of her Disney dolls, and so I got on the floor with her, and I started asking her some questions. I asked her who she was playing with. She looked at her first doll, and she said, "Oh, that's a princess." And I asked her, "Well, what's up with the green little doll next to the princess?" And she said, "Oh, that's Tinkerbell." And then I asked her about the dark-haired, dark-skinned Pocahontas doll next to Tinkerbell. She said, "Oh, that's Jesus." I think that was the sweetest thing. I'm going to come back to that story in a little bit. Because today, as you are confirmed, I think we all have a certain implicit understanding of how your faith goes from a childlike faith to an adult faith. So this is a faith of a child, maybe seeing Jesus in random places like Pocahontas dolls, right? The faith of a child, sometimes, you know, they have goofy behavior, and if you're a leader of Sunday school or even these confirmation groups, you know what that goofy behavior is like. But the faith of a child includes these doubts and questions. But then, sometimes we have this implicit understanding of confirmation becoming an adult in the faith, where the faith of an adult sees Jesus in the right places. The faith of an adult has mature Christian behavior, and the faith of an adult has a certain set of beliefs with answers to those questions that you may have had as a kid. Now, I want to keep those two columns on the screen. I want you to think of them in the back of your mind as we go back to our scripture story for today. This is a story when Jesus gets his disciples together. Now, these are grown men, mind you, who have been following Jesus and learning about him for quite a long time now. And the story begins after they've been going a long way. They finally got to Capernaum, which was their destination. And as they sat down, Jesus turned to two of the disciples, and Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about anyway?" And it says that they were silent because they were arguing about who is the greatest. So my question today is, can you picture this? As this group of disciples and Jesus is walking on the road, maybe it was in the back of the pack, Bartholomew was poking at James, whispering in his ear, "I'm better than you." disciple. And James shoves his shoulder and says, "Nuh-uh, I'm Jesus' favorite." They're shoving and poking and maybe even tickling and arguing in the back of the pack, thinking Jesus didn't actually see them back there. And so as they finally got to Capernaum, Jesus says, "Hey, what's going on back there?" The two guys stopped in their tracks, kind of looked at each other out of the corner of their eye. "I'm not going to say anything. You going to say anything?" And they tried not to laugh or giggle or say anything because they knew that they were in trouble. Jay, this never happened in confirmation, did it? A couple guys in the back of the pack, stop touching each other, right? Sounds like Jesus had a problem with disciples like this too, right? Well, anyway, Jesus calls them all to come in and sit down. So these two guys in the back, probably expecting to get a lecture about their misbehaving, probably expecting they'd have to get a call home to their parents, probably expecting they'd have to do an extra set of sermon notes as punishment, these disciples, the well-behaved ones who are in the front, and the troublemakers in the back, they listen to Jesus as he begins to tell them this lesson. He decides to pick up on their argument. "You guys think you're the greatest? I'll tell you who's the greatest." And then he invited a child to come on up. And so, sure, Isaiah, come on up. Invited a child to come on up. He raised his hand, "I'm not going to say no." Says, "You want to know who's the greatest? Right here." It's feeling good. Good job, man. You can go back to see this. Give him a hand. Well, in this case, and in case after case after case in the Bible, Jesus has a way of turning greatness upside down. And I think in our time and place, we like to argue with Jesus on this. He says, "You want to be a leader? Be a servant. You want to know what it looks like to be blessed? Look to those who are poor. Look to those who mourn. Look to those who are meek and hungry. Want to see what maturity in faith looks like? Look to the faith of a child." Well, for confirmation students today, yes, you've made it. You spent 3+ years learning about the faith, the Bible, the church, and the Christian community. At this point, you've become adults in the church. And you may feel like you're supposed to have the right answers, the right beliefs, a correct set of explanations, these mature behaviors, and a right understanding of where Jesus is at in this world. And on your confirmation day, as we read the scripture passage from Jesus, I can't help but wonder if this understanding of confirmation as we've implicitly understood it isn't flipped around. I can't help but wonder if an adult faith actually looks more like that. Because I wonder, if the disciples of Jesus included some goofballs in the back, why can't the church? And for all of us here today, Jesus flips greatness upside down and says that if we want to become adults in the faith, that faith actually may look a lot more like the faith of a child. Because in the grand scheme of things, our eternity isn't dependent on us arriving at a right understanding of God. Our eternity is not dependent on us achieving a certain amount of faith. Our eternity is not dependent on us accomplishing a particular level of belief. Our eternity, however, is dependent on a God who has a right understanding of us. That God knows that we would never earn or deserve salvation. Whatever amount of faith God had in humans was lost as even the most beloved disciples denied and betrayed Jesus as he was taken to a cross. But through his death and resurrection, we see that God is unwavering in God's particular level of belief that you and I and this whole world was worth it. You see, the Christian faith tells this story of a God who loves this world so much that you and I are fully embraced outside of our efforts into the arms of an unconditionally loving God. And because Jesus has a way of turning our understandings of greatness upside down, Confirmation Class of 2018, I hope and pray that as you become adults in the faith today, that you don't settle for a faith that only involves seeing Jesus in the right places. I pray that you don't settle for a faith that demands only mature behavior. I pray that you don't settle for a faith that expects only answers and beliefs. I pray that you can see Jesus in random places like Pocahontas dolls. I pray that your faith always has room for a couple of disciples in the back of the pack goofing off. And I pray that you might always feel honest enough about your faith statements to include your questions and even your doubts. Because on this day that you become adults in the church, I pray that God may bless you and God may bless us all with a faith like a child. Amen. Congregation may be seated, and confirmation class, you may remain standing. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity by water and the Holy Spirit. We are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. So living with Christ and in communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. And today, we celebrate as this confirmation class affirms the promises received in baptism as they are confirmed in the Christian faith. Confirmation class of 2018, I ask you to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. So do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you this day and keep you always in God's grace. Amen. Now, as you go on your way today, be comforted in knowing Christ goes with you, goes before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you watching over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Serve the Lord.